Good morning once again to one and all. Thank Aaron and the musicians. I just hope I don't lose my track of thought. In regard to Ephesians chapter 2, when we used to have Bible studies with Filipinos and tell the gospel, explain how to come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I used Ephesians chapter 2, I'd use an illustration sometimes of a buffalo and a cart, because farmers would have a buffalo and you have his cart. So I'd ask, what goes in front, the cart or the buffalo? I say, the buffalo. Well, why does the buffalo go in front? And they say, well, so that it can pull the cart. So I'll say, well, why can't the buffalo go behind and push the cart? And they say, well, yeah, it could do. I'll say, why? Now, sometimes they hard to come up with an answer, so I'd explain, it's hard for the buffalo to get around the corner on the road if the buffalo is behind the cart, but if he's in front of the cart, it's easier to get around the corner. So it's likewise with salvation. First comes faith and then comes works afterwards. So today we're looking at Galatians chapter 5 and verses 13 down to verse 26. There it is, Galatians 5:13 to 26. And it reads here, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but only love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you're not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, well, that's discord, emulations or jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, all of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." In the last verse, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." So, could we also have a quick look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2. "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. And one more at John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So here we have Paul writing to the Galatians, as we've seen before, that there were three specific cities that Paul and Barnabas went to in Galatia, and there were assemblies formed there. And so now he's writing back to these believers that they should continue in the Lord, because there is some who've been proclaiming that you must be circumcised to and follow the law of Moses to be a Christian. But now Paul is explaining in his writings that that the law of Moses has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 13 of Galatians 5, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty or freedom, only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So if we're freed from sin when we first believed in the Lord Jesus, that is, saved from the slavery to sin, we are called to serve one another in love. We'll remember that Jesus Christ said, love one another as I have loved you. And then he also said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as ransom for many. We just sang that one, actually, didn't we? And that's from Matthew chapter 20. We therefore need to follow the Saviour's example. I used to know a girl in Indonesia when I was doing my missionary training. The girl was working as a helper for a missionary family. Anyhow, this girl, Jamini, was the name, had done something that was inexcusable. She had sinned, and so she took off, went home to her mother's place, and anyway, her mother started to prepare her wedding to a non-Christian. Jamini had told herself that God is a God of love, so it didn't matter if she had sinned, God would forgive her. But when she discovered that her mum was preparing a wedding to this non-Christian, non-believer, a Muslim guy, she hurried back to the missionaries. Now, Jamini's brother was the full-time worker in the local assembly where I was doing my training. And actually, we had his photograph out in the foyer for some time, where Wilson paid to have this chap's wife to have her eye straightened. And anyway, so the brother took her aside and read to her from the book of Jeremiah. And she turned back to the Lord. So it he explained that a believer follows the Lord with repentance and does not desire to follow the things of the world. Verse 14 here, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Have a quick look at Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. I am the Lord. And again from Deuteronomy, just over a little bit, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and with all thy might. And so the Lord had been, they tried to trap him, and the lawyers, and anyway, he said that on these two commandments, the whole law is based. So, have you noticed verse 15? But if you bite and devour one another, take heed you not consume one of another. You notice that when there are two people arguing or two groups of people arguing, oftentimes neither side wants to back down or compromise. Both sides want to come out on top or want to win the argument. There are occasions, of course, when there is one party has clearly sinned, but then we need to go to Matthew 18, and where it tells that when there is a disagreement, take a brother or another person along as a witness to mediate in the dispute. So it's not winning the argument that we should be concerned with, but rather reconciling one with another. For chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. And so it says, if you walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And so, again, in chapter 8 of Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of law is life because of righteousness. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. If such be the case in our relationship to one to each other, then so much more should we seek to live for the Lord in our speech, in our thoughts, and our actions. When we are led by the Spirit of God, we can be assured that we will not be led astray. Whilst on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, "It is finished." That is, our salvation is complete. Our salvation will always be complete. The Lord Himself said that no one will be able to snatch His beloved out of His hand. That is, no Christian can be snatched out of the hand of the Lord. Just have a quick look at Acts 13. 13 and verses 33. Acts 13, 33. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that He raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm, "Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee." And as concerning that He raised Him up from the dead, now no more return to corruption. He said on this wise, "I will give you the mercies of David." Wherefore He said in another psalm, "Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. That means to say that the Lord's body did not decay. "Be known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you for the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believed are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." So, the law of Moses was good, but it could not save people from their sins. So Paul brings in Galatians 5 again, verses 9 to 23, Paul brings up the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And you'll notice, if you count it all up, there are 17 bad fruit and there are 9 good fruit. Now, in the Philippines, when we had our second assembly we established, it was out on the lake. And to get there, you had either a long journey to go around by land, which in the hot season was hot and dusty. In the rainy season, it was wet and muddy and slippery. You'd go in bare feet. When you get there, you could wash yourself off, put your shoes on, and it was hard going. So we got ourselves a boat to go across the lake. And so I said to the fellas, "What are we going to call it?" And so I opened up at Galatians chapter 5, and the fruits of the Spirit, and they decided to call the boat Peace, or Kapayapaan. It's about that long. And so we called it Peace. It was actually on the front, on the cover of Tidy magazine, and the wording said the name means peace. And so it was a testimony and a witness for the non-believing people thereabouts peace, and it's something for them to think about. When the boat got waterlogged, we decided we need a new boat, so we got a new one made of fiberglass. And I said, what are we going to call this new boat? So they said, Peace 2. So they called it also Peace. If you go to Romans chapter 1, you find that there are 23 works of the flesh as against 17 works of the flesh in Galatians. You remember in the news when same-sex marriage debate was going on, that those pushing for same-sex marriage, anyone who opposed it was made out to be the bad guys. There are many circumstances that those who commit wickedness, backbiters, boasters, deceit, exception. Those who oppose such things are said to be the good guys, and those who oppose it are the bad guys. So, but here in Galatians 5:23, he says the tail end of the good fruit, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. So there's no law against the Spirit of the Lord. And verse 24, and that they are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So the Apostle Paul says, Beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts against the soul, war against the soul. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have a double emphasis here, being living and walking in the Spirit against there is no such law. Verse 26, let us be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. There are some people who are quick to tell of how many people they have baptized or how great a preacher they are. But once we had a visitor when we were in the Philippines, he'd been talking to a local missionary. And he told me that missionary was probably the most humble Christian that he had ever met. So that was a testimony to me that we should be humble in our lives before each other and before the world. The Lord said to his disciples, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. So, to what end or what benefit is there provoking another Christian? What help does it to annoy someone else, to make fun of them? Envying others is the beginning of coveting their talents or possessions. From there it is a downward slide into sin if it is not quickly brought under control with repentance and confession. Just a quick look also in Philippians chapter 2, 13. Philippians 2, 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also to the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and look upon him, the form of the servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of all things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and at every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we're to take the Lord Jesus Christ as our example, and whatever the Lord did before his disciples, we should also follow suit. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, the former things have passed away, all things become new. So the most terrible sinner who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ has instantly become a new creation. He or she does not need to do anything from the law of Moses in order to be more complete in the sight of God. Because that person has been reborn, he no longer desires to do those things in Galatians 5:19. That the works of the flesh, that is to mean to say that he no longer wishes to do things of self-glory or things that pertain to worldly passions and ideals. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful that we can come together this morning, today, to consider what it means to follow after the Saviour, Jesus Christ, and how we can live for one another in this age where so many people turned against godly ideals and desires. We do pray that the Holy Spirit will encourage each one to live for Christ today, tomorrow, and every day hence until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. May we be able to esteem one another more highly and more with much more love because of what the Lord himself has done on the time when he was with his disciples. And the Holy Spirit is instructing us day by day the way we should go, the way we should live. We do commit in your care and keeping each one as you travel to our homes later on, and pray for travelling mercies for one another. Thank you for your loving kindness and goodness today and always. In the name of the Saviour Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.